We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hara and Cam Cleland.
Matt?
Yeah, Matt!
Good, Matt!
Yeah!
What do you want to do about it?
Really good, doesn't it? Like you're still alive, right?
Yeah!
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Dusty and Cam in the Morning. I'm Luke Anderson, filling in for Dusty Hara, who is dead.
Okay. Yeah, there are reports.
Reports are...
That he's very sick.
Very sick. Near very death. Sick. On near. Death's door.
Well, anybody that's ever had the flu, it does feel like it.
Oh.
This sucks.
Yeah.
I think that was...
So I wish him well, recover well, and I just hope he doesn't pass it around. I hope it's the gift that doesn't keep on giving.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. So,
we're
best of luck to the Hara family recovering from...
Yeah, you have a pregnant wife,
whatever
young,
it is
young daughter,
yeah.
And a sick dad.
Ooh. Ooh.
I remember those days.
Sounds like a whole lot of no fun, so you're stuck with me. But you still have Cam, so I guess that's a thing. Crawford's still here. Yeah,
they don't listen because of me.
they don't listen. I'll tell you they don't listen because of... It's me. I've seen all your fans saying good morning to you all day. Good
sure.
morning, dummy. Hey, stupid. Good morning.
Hey,
the text line is light
now
with
idiots.
Well wishes to Cam Cleland.
Yeah, I'll take it, man. Stupid. Just vent.
Yeah.
Vent.
Bring it on.
Cam is not an idiot. I'm not stupid.
Remains
to be seen.
We're soft.
So the Huskies, not the only Pac-12 team to end a losing streak. Gary Anderson, how do you feel about the Beavers' first Pac-12 win with you coaching?
Welcome to the Pac-12. I'll tell you what, I couldn't be more proud of a bunch of kids, boy. We got whatever. We won the game. It's all that mattered. We found a way against a very good football team. Cal's an awesome team. Sonny's a great person. I love these kids, man. This is a great time for them. Hopefully we can build on it and understand what it takes to just stick in it and keep on digging. Go Beavers! How about that?
I don't know what what's better is the way he sounds or the dumb grin that Crawford has listening to that.
He just
looks like it's Christmas morning. He's 8 years old. Well, he looks eight anyways, but just the whole time
he wasn't shaved
that,
yet. But yeah,
I was just thinking about when I watched that video and Gary Anderson's face and how he just
it was Kirk Cousins esque.
Yeah,
I think we need to keep that rolling. That's got to be a new drop.
Yeah, how about that?
How about that? That's a good drop. Now.
I thought I went. People always say go Beavs, and I love that Coach Anderson also went full go Beavers. How about that?
He went full.
Well, hey, listen, he's invested in it. You don't lose that much without full investment into the team. He could have given up a long time ago. The fact that they won, great. The way that they won.
Baffled right now.
Cameron, you're looking at some numbers. Share with our listeners some of the things that are intriguing to you, sir.
Well, I think the number one intriguing thing is I put together my math skills, which are awful, which are 97. Between the two teams, if I would have told you this, okay, guess what? Between Cal and Oregon State, you're going to have 791 yards rushing.
Rushing. You're saying rushing.
I'm saying rushing. And then you're going to have, less than 220 yards passing?
Yeah.
I'm baffled.
85 passing yards for Daryl Gerritsen.
He ran for a 105. He threw for 85.
85.
I'm stunned.
Not only do you run more than you pass for by 20 yards.
Was this the Pettibone era? Did mysteriously something happen? Did we go back to the bone era? What happened?
That's what I'm asking you. You're the football expert out here. I'm just a dumb guy talking over here. You're supposed to know.
But it wasn't just Oregon State. It's like everybody said, okay, we can't throw the football across the board. Were they playing with a rugby football?
Were they playing in a hurricane? I don't remember either of those schools being in
Matthew
Florida.
Matthew was on the East Coast, not on the West Coast.
That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah. I was a little confused by that. They weren't playing in the Orange Bowl just for fun. Mm. The amazing thing about it is, though, I mean, is there a more Beavers win than kind of the way they did it? They had a big lead late in the second half. They look like they're going to, you know, hold on. They let Cal come all the way back, ends up in overtime, and the play that decides the game is nearly a fumbled snap.
Yeah, nearly
a fumbled snap. Gerritsen gets his hand on with apparently he's wearing a lineman's glove on his left hand, and he credits that for being able to even hold on to the ball. So I don't know if you've ever felt one of these gloves and how tacky they are, but the ball basically just sticks to him. He holds on to the ball, makes a great run afterwards, but it kind of set up the defense where, you know, they kind of left their assignments because it looks like the ball's going to be fumbled, mm-hmm. and he escapes, makes a nice run, and that's the difference in the game. So first you give up the big victory or big lead, and then you broken play. That's how you do it.
And it was a really good play for all of us out there that thought, when you originally thought and saw it, you thought it was a broken play of some sort. It was a fumble. It really wasn't. It was QB power. I mean, when you talk about QB power, you always
delayed, but it was delayed.
It was slight delay, but that's a power fake. It's kind of like a counter step. What you do is you have a pulling guard, you have a double team with strong side, you have guys just move out the one technique, and next thing you know, here comes your guard and your fullback kicks out, and it was beautifully blocked. It was a little bit of a fumble. I think that the fumble snap actually helped the delay of the linebackers to think, uh-oh, and they froze and saw that, and it set the blocks up even more perfect. And Darrell Gerritsen, with reports that he's got foot issues, he looked great. I mean, whatever he took on game day, fine. He just battled. He ran that ball in. That was a great win for the Beavers. And
yeah,
I'm going into this game. If you were out there and you were watching this and you saw what happened versus Colorado last week, there's no way you were looking at this game going, we are going to be in this game.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. I don't think that you could watch Cal, and as good as Cal goes win-loss, win-loss, they're inconsistent. What are they doing?
Well, and Davis Webb had averaged over 450 yards per game through the air, yeah. And a lot of credit to the Beavs secondary, held him under 200 yards passing.
That's huge. I still am baffled on what they were able to do. And let's also give a lot of credit towards Ryan Nall,
yep.
who
221 yards rushing.
He is a machine. He's yeah. a wrecking Nall.
Yeah, oh,
I think I've heard that before. There. Sorry.
Great.
I stole that.
Really good.
I'll take that. But hopefully thank you, Crawford. Hopefully his injury's not too bad. We don't have a report on if it's serious.
The only comments I heard were from Ryan Nall himself. He said he'll be fine. So he's like
lingering ankle.
Yeah, ankle sorts. Foot.
He says was giving an emphatic thumbs up. Yeah. So when they carted him off, his thumbs up was
emphatic. Well, why'd they cart him off if it's an emphatic thumbs up?
I mean, he was, I'm good.
Good, don't worry about it.
That's what I was trying to figure out. I was like, well, you're then clearly not
walk.
Good.
Yeah, he's wearing a boot after the game, but in the post-game press conference, he says, yeah, I'll be fine.
Treatment, they don't have another bye week, so it's roll on now. You just got to deal with it.
Yeah, all steam ahead for the Beavs.
Yeah.
So looking at the rest of their schedule, I mean, is this a sign of better things to come? Is this an anomaly in there? Yeah. I mean, what do you think?
Oh, I think this is a huge sign. I mean, Crawford, you didn't believe you could get a win this early. Did you think you had this Cal game early? And now gives you confidence. And I think Beaver fans out there, do you feel a little bit more confident when you win like this? Because coming from my perspective and seeing this win for Coach Anderson and those guys, knowing they could beat a Pac-12 team that beat a Texas, all of that, I mean, this is big altogether. I know it's Texas.
This is like, and Coach Anderson touched on it in that audio clip we played, and this is something I'm also curious about your opinion on, Cam, having played college football, but it seemed like, and Coach Anderson always says it's the Beavers, they needed to learn how to win games. They didn't know how to win. And we even saw that on Saturday night. Yeah. They had a lead. They should have locked it down, and they did everything they could not to. I think that having this win and learning what it feels like to win a Pac-12
taste
game, what does it feel like? How did you do that? What happened? That is so valuable going forward for a young team to learn to feel that win in conference the first time for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, but you won it too, and the way you won it is you won it on the ground. You dominated a line of scrimmage. Now, both teams did run for quite a bit. Cal rushed for 317. Oregon State rushed for 474 yards.
Yeah, that's the most by the Beavers ever against a Pac-12 opponent.
Just say that with
that's
me.
That's crazy.
474 yards on the ground. I mean, that's amazing. You won a football game when you say, Beaver fans, you guys won a football game at the line of scrimmage, and you dominated. You weren't expecting that. You didn't see the offensive line as confident, but the running backs, everybody dominated up front. That is a positive that you can carry into the rest of the Pac-12 conference.
But here's the rest of your schedule. So you have Utah, Washington, Washington State, Stanford, UCLA, Arizona, Oregon. Where are the wins there? And how much do we know about the other teams?
Yeah, we don't know anything after this weekend, right?
Didn't it feel that way? I mean, that's the thing is you look
at it.
Not going
to predict any wins at this point.
So that's, I guess, kind of the mystery and the wonder of this weekend is you have Washington State beat Stanford. You have Oregon State get their first win. You have Oregon wiped off the face of the earth by Washington. And now you look at the rest of the schedule and you go, where are the good teams? I mean, again, Washington State lost their first two games, one to an FCS opponent. You lose to, you know, these lower conference teams, and now you go in and you're beating up the big guys, perceived big guys in the Pac-12 North, and you've got, you know, UCLA's inconsistent. You've got Washington, who looks like a world beater. I'm not sure what you're going to get from Utah, but at least you would think you'd have better defense than to allow over 400 yards rushing.
Well, clearly to me, the confusion is the first 2 weeks of the season of the Pac-12 conference, we saw Washington State losing two, and everyone's like, well, they're done.
Done.
Right, because they can't figure out a way to start.
Can't
beat Eastern
Washington, you can't beat Boise State. You're not going to win in the Pac-12.
Yeah, Stanford's a top five team. The Huskies are a top 10 team. Oregon is still right in the conversation. It was a big loss.
They've got so much talent. I mean, you can't count them out.
So much talent. They have a fifth-year senior.
Best they've ever been at their skill positions.
Right. Clearly the best wide receiving crew.
Maybe in all of college football ever in the history of sports.
And then all of a sudden, there's just this catastrophic shift in the entire conference where you look down, Colorado's playing good, cats and dogs are living together, mass hysteria, nobody believes it, and then you see USC failing and falling all over the place.
That's
Utah is an undefeated team.
Yeah.
They're going to get tons of confidence. UCLA is really, really good. They take Stanford to the wire. They should be really, really good. And here we are sitting the start of October, now heading into the middle of October, and everything you thought you knew, gone. Completely gone.
Is this what we should expect from college football? Are we like?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
I absolutely love it. If you think you know what you're talking about, the beginning of the football seasons, you have no idea.
Yeah, none of this isn't new. It's every year.
Yeah,
we're gonna get to the end, and the teams that are gonna be there at the end are going to surprise you. My prediction is this will be the first year that we see an upset in one of these. I've predicted it every year, so I'm kind of an idiot this way. But in one of the conference championship games, you're going to have an upset. You think you're going to know what the college football playoff is going into those games. There's going to be somebody that loses to the weaker side of the conference, and now you're going to have a two- or three-loss team that what do you do with them? They just knocked off Alabama or Washington or even Ohio State. And you go, what do we do with these teams now? Because I just feel like that's what this season is building up towards. This is the chaos that you normally have in college football, and that's what makes it so difficult to predict.
My question is going to be, if we're going to start predicting the rest of the year and you're going to look throughout and you're going to go, who's going to be able to make it? I'm going to be honest with you. I still don't feel confident that the Pac-12 is going to get an undefeated team. Now, I watched a team that looked as dominant as I've ever seen in college football against an Oregon team this weekend, and that is the way Washington played football. But do I feel that they're going to still walk through this conference undefeated? I'll be honest with you, no.
Yeah, and where they lose will make a big difference, and we'll see what happens with the rest of the league. But some of the big schools that had a lot of promise have already fallen, so it'll be a good mix. We need to go wide right when we return. We still have to get to the NFL. We still have to get to Major League Baseball playoff. A lot more on Dusty and Cam when we return after this.
One play does not a game make.
Mark Sanchez not expecting it, and it was the backside of Brandon Moore that knocked the ball out.
Who says you can't lose on a single play?
Yellow! Oh, Leon Lett! Leon Lett! Oh, my goodness gracious!
This is Wide Right, a look back at the plays that made the weekend, memorable.
Ernest Biner.
Fumble
the ball, and Denver has recovered. Oh, my.
Wide Right with Dusty and Cam on 1080.
No good. Wide Right.
The Fan.
Oh, boy, that Ernest Biner call makes me feel just so bad. Like,
the more you hear it, the more you go, oh, Cleveland.
Well, I don't hear it every Monday, so I'm not always in this seat listening to that. But we were talking about it on the Sinner and the Saint this weekend and the unluckiest teams in the history of sport. And the Cubs ended up being number one on whatever list we were looking at. But I'm sorry, the Browns and the way they lose games. I mean, when your two most famous plays are as the failure, the drive and the fumble are both you sucking. Like, that call just kind of hurts me inside. And that's to lose the game. Sometimes you miss a play. It's not necessarily to lose the game. It's just to kind of maybe set the tempo.
Taking the snap will be Jabril Peppers in the shotgun. Behind him is Isaac Peppers waiting for the ball. Gets it. He will run well. Taking the snap and he'll score. Jabril Peppers. Five in the shotgun. Behind him is...
All right, Crawford, you got these all tangled up here, buddy. I'm hitting the one that says Herbert. You want to try it for me? All right, we'll wait for that.
Well, you can tell
speaking
he had a
of
long
wide
weekend.
Right, I think speaking we're of going
wide right when our producer wide rights out
I
of the
gate. I just
want
to make sure everybody that understands. Yes, I'm new here. I'm not the regular fault. Guy. Totally not my fault.
Yeah, just I told him. Sure. I said I need you in the producer chair, rocking it. And what does he do?
Well, first he shows up late. I was on an airplane. It was difficult. Yeah, but the order was set for a very important reason, and we'll go out of order. I'm sorry, fans, but this is what happens. So let's go here.
Looked to me like he had a real opportunity to fit one in there to Brian Quick.
Hecker leads the NFL in net gross and punts inside the 20, and it's a fake, as you can see, and it was taken by Bradley Marquez, and the hit by Ronald Darby. And at the 25-yard line, Buffalo takes over on 4th and 5.
That was the Los Angeles Rams on their own 23-yard line, 4th and 6. Run a fake punt, picked up 2 yards. It's not enough to get a first down there. I would call that.
That is 7-9 bull.
Yes, that is, Coach Fisher. That is 7-9 BS.
What are they doing, Cam?
What are you doing on your own 23-yard line? I mean,
well, but it's
you can be a riverboat gambler.
And you're in the game.
You're in the game. There's a time and a place for a call. Most of the time, your special teams coach runs over to you, which is, I think it's John Fossil or Jim Fossil. It's John Fossil.
John Fossil, okay.
Which is the son of Jim Fossil. Comes over and goes, hey, we got the look we need. And Coach Fisher's going to be, okay, we're on our own 23. Sounds good. Right now. Oh, man. I don't like it.
Jeff Fisher,
I don't like it.
Jeff Fisher loves some special teams garbage.
He does.
Loves it.
Always been known for it. Everybody practices for it. They know it.
And there's no more scrutinized play than a fake field goal, punt, throwback, lateral return. When they don't go well, there's nothing worse. This was just a terrible call, though.
Bad choice. Bad timing.
Bad move. How are we doing on everything else here, Crawford? Okay, the other ones are good? All right, let's go this direction.
Taking the snap will be Jabril Peppers in the shotgun. Behind him is Isaac Peppers waiting for the ball. Gets it. He will run left, and he'll score. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Jabril Peppers. Quarterback sweep left. With that speed, there's no chance for Rutgers, and Michigan rolls out to a 42-0 lead.
Mark Brandstacker on the call there. That is Michigan putting up 78 on Rutgers.
Now, 78 is a big number.
Sure it is. But you know why it's an even bigger number is if you are a Michigan steakhouse and you have agreed to honor the discount to whatever percentage of the points scored by Michigan. So now you have a 78% discount on steaks. Whoops.
I think you know what I'm doing? I'm going to go out on a limb and say the same steakhouse is just like it was filmed in The Great Outdoors with John Candy.
Oh, I hope
it. And I'm going the old 96er and going to fly out there because 70% off of the old 96er.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
78%
off.
They've actually they've come out and said that there was a provision in there that it would only be up to 50% off. So they've already backtracked on it. But yeah, when your beat down is tied to steak. Come on, guys.
How about 270s numbers in Pac-12 or in college football this week?
Rutgers, you see it coming. Yeah. Oregon, though, when it's a college football powerhouse like Oregon getting a 70 spot put up against them, that's a whole different story. Are we ready with the... All right.
He gave you the thumbs up.
Sometimes you end a game poorly. Sometimes you start a game poorly.
And Oregon from right here in Eugene and Sheldon High School begins... with play action and a throw over the middle. That's intercepted. Buda Baker ripped it away. And that's how Washington starts the night.
Fox Sports with the audio there. Justin Herbert played a pretty good game, but did not start well. And it was just a sign of things to come for the team without question.
Well, what he will remember, his first career throw,
first start.
I say first career start and first throw of a first career start, was a pick. And... that's not the way you want to start your career as a starter.
No, that is very true, but it's also one of those things where you go, all right, if you're going to be a quarterback in the Pac-12, you're going to have to have a short memory. He went out and he played pretty well. He played better than his defense.
I thought there wasn't anything that I looked at and went, this kid doesn't have every tool that you want if you're thinking about futures of quarterbacks for Oregon.
I don't have audio here, but I'm going to give you a couple other quick wide rights this weekend. Tyrod Taylor, quarterback, Buffalo Bills. Normally takes a snap from the center. Tyrod Taylor couldn't find his center.
That happens. What did he bump over and try to reach under Richie Incognito maybe a little bit?
Ooh, that's I don't think what you want to do.
You don't want to do that.
Check
guy.
His oil. That's not going to be. He'll bully you right out of the locker room.
Right.
One more. Go to some offensive line one. Laremy Tunstall broke his foot, which football players break.
Football players have injuries, right?
Broke his foot in the shower.
You know, that's too bad. And my question is, did he break it at the shower at the facility or was he at home?
I don't know if they have gas masks.
Was he at the extended stay, wherever he was at?
I'm not sure. Did they have gas masks in showers?
There's one guy that was probably masking it out. It'd be him.
Oh.
Poor guy. That's too bad.
And this one, I think, this one hurts the worst.
Another payoff. And Martin on the ground. Andrews makes a play, goes to second out there, throw to first. Oh, and what a play. But here comes the runner, Donaldson. He's safe. He's safe. The ball game is over. The Blue Jays are moving on.
A call from TBS. So Arugnet Odor and the Blue Jays have a nice little history after he decked Jose Bautista earlier this season in May. He had a home run in the game, but the game-winning run scored on his error, trying to turn a double play.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What was the sign that was all over TV again?
It was better to knock you out in October than take a punch in May. Something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm paraphrasing. I can't remember.
Well done.
Probably more eloquent than that.
Probably.
But oh boy, Rugnet.
I felt bad for the Rangers really quickly. No, I didn't. I feel bad because, you know, the Blue Jays, I said this last week.
They never showed up for this season.
Man, that baffles me when you're that good of a team and you come in and you face a team that is absolutely hot, that wins a game like that. The Blue Jays, they were walking into that series. We got this.
This one game wild card is so interesting to me in baseball because what it does is it gives you so much momentum. You're playing your last few games of the season and they matter like crazy just to get into a one game playoff. Then you're automatically thrown into a game seven. You come out of that just on fire. The other team's been sitting around waiting. Texas had the best record in the American League. They hadn't played a meaningful game in a month.
Nope. And they weren't motivated. And two, I think this is my theory on Toronto, and we can share it later. They got rid of David Price. I don't know what it is. Boston brilliant. Has him now. Look what's going on there.
How's that working for you? Oh, boy. A lot of things happened in college football yesterday we have not gotten to yet, so we will take a run around college football when we return. As you mentioned, we need to get back into some Major League Baseball, and Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback and maybe the greatest man alive. A lot more, Dusty and Cam, when we return. Alex, share those words of sports with our fans.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
No, Dusty hair. He has pink eye. He's not allowed around
anybody.
Thought
it was hand, foot, and mouth.
What's that? Hoof and mouth. Sorry. I don't know. I keep getting this report wrong. Coming across the text line, I mean, they're just telling me updates on it. I have no idea what's going on.
Uh-huh.
Interesting question on the text line. Could Oregon beat Rutgers? That is silence from Cam Cleland. He gets paid to talk about college football. He has nothing to say.
I have to think about that.
Whoever texts that in, great question.
This sucks.
Will there be an 8-point spread? Because we give up 70, they give up 78. 8-point spread?
Well, is it a 70-70 game, or is it neither team can score on each other? Like,
what are you going to do?
They look deficient. We're going to do our little college football runaround here, but I want to start with something that's a little bit interesting. I don't think anybody's surprised to see Washington on the top of the Pac-12 North, but here's the standings in the Pac-12. Start with the North. Washington, followed by Washington State, 2-0 in the Pac-12, 3-2 overall. Stanford is 2-2 in the conference. Mm-hmm. They are third. Oregon State is fourth. Cal, fifth. And Oregon is in last place, 0-3 in the division, in conference, and at the bottom of the Pac-12 North. And then if you look at the South, the top is Arizona State, Utah, Colorado, USC, UCLA, and Arizona.
Yeah, go figure that.
Yeah, you call that? Is that how you picked it?
No, not at all. I'm very confused by that overall. I mean, I'm just looking at it and I'm going, Colorado, Arizona State, wasn't prepared for that. Utah, at the beginning of the season, when you told me that Washington State were going to be 1-2 in this conference, I would have probably thought potentially the Huskies, but not Washington State after that start, and certainly not seeing Stanford fall off the map like this.
Well, in Washington, too, I mean, it's as much was talked about, you know, their potential and, you know, the possibility of them rising. They had the weakest Power 5 non-conference schedule, and they cruise through that.
Yeah.
They go to overtime with Arizona, who's yet to win a conference game. They're in last place in the South, 0-3. They're same record as the Ducks, if that tells you how bad they are. Yeah. And then you look at, you know, they've already beaten Stanford. They've already beaten Oregon. I mean, you know, who else on their schedule is going to be that maybe there's a hiccup, but it's because they play poorly, not necessarily because they get outmanned by anybody. Doesn't seem like much potential. But yeah, Washington State, their two losses, we've talked about that a little bit today. But yeah, very interesting at the top of the South. Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado, all 2-1 in conference.
You know, we've talked about the importance of defense and how Oregon is just very inept on defense. And the critical point is why Washington is so good. It's not just the fact that their offense is quality. Their defense right now, number one in the country in turnover margin at plus 13. That is huge. 24 sacks, which is number two, and scoring defense number six. And these are all in the country.
And those
things, those are critical stats when it comes to how you win games, because you have to play defense to stay in a game. Have to.
And the way they play defense, those sacks coming without barely a blitz. Yeah. I mean,
pressure from four.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. All right, let's do a little quick run around some of the big games in the top 25. Oklahoma, Texas. Is Texas going to move on from Charlie Strong?
Man, I can't imagine that man keeping his job. I was surprised that he wasn't fired actually recently. I mean, when I mean recently, I mean yesterday. Yeah. That's one of those things. I do feel bad for that. And Texas is one of the hardest places to coach, because you want to talk about expectations and boosters and problems that you have there. You could be Texas right now.
But the money you have and the boosters you have to help with recruiting. I mean, you've got the support, anything you want. You've got your own television station. It seems like you should be able to win there. Stay in the state of Texas. Everybody thought Houston had a clear path.
Speaking of Houston,
running right into the college football playoff. They're not going to lose a game the rest of the way. If you beat Oklahoma, you go undefeated, right?
Certainly.
46-40. Navy wins.
Midshipmen. They canceled school today.
Wait, government school?
Can you do that?
Military school?
That's all government.
Like, I'm okay if Oregon State cancels school today because they got to win.
Yeah, good Navy? On Navy, man. Talk about controlling the game, but it was kind of wet. Yeah. It looked like it was a very rainy game.
Sure.
Houston, I didn't expect Houston to do that, but all of us knew who Houston really was. I mean, did anybody feel like they felt like Houston, dominant program? Yes, they beat Oklahoma. Yeah.
They're good, but
they're good.
Yeah, and that's what.
But that's what teams mid major teams. That's what they do.
Yeah, and you fill a bunch of young kids with a bunch of hot air, and they start believing the hype, and they think that they can do that.
Don't look past Navy.
No, absolutely
never.
Not.
Never look past one of those type of teams that can just ball control you to death.
And now Navy's got the tiebreaker in the conference. You might end up winning your American Athletic Conference, Houston.
How about that?
Thanks for playing.
Yeah.
Anybody going to beat Ohio State this year?
The most anticipated game for me in the country is number one, Washington State right now. But then number two is going to be Ohio State, Michigan.
Right up there with Washington State.
The apple comes really big in my heart. No. All right. Is this your rub-in point? That's good. Let that sink in, folks. No, but honestly, it's Ohio State and Michigan. At this point, that intersection, what's it going to be like when these two teams hit?
Yeah. And how disappointing is it that most of these great matchups are on the same side of their conference?
Yes. We can't even see it in the Big Ten Championship. We have to see it earlier.
Yep. All right. Who's going to beat Alabama? Tennessee, Texas A&M. They have them the next couple weeks. They played close. Tennessee does what Tennessee does. Came all the way back, but unable to win in overtime.
My question is, does Alabama play Texas A&M?
Yeah.
Do. When?
I think it's the next 2 weeks.
I
think those are their next
two opponents. That's what I'm looking for.
Let me confirm.
We need to verify that, because that's the game I'm really looking forward to. Right now, I don't see Alabama even being challenged anywhere at this point. Honestly, at this point, who's going to stop Alabama? If Texas A&M is the only team that can do it, the SEC is actually weak.
Yeah, well, let's see.
I know how many times Tennessee was going to win games close. Well, they found a way to run out of their magic, because Texas A&M is a real football team.
Yep, so Alabama got a 49-30 win over the Arkansas Razorbacks. Next week, they have the Tennessee Volunteers in Knoxville, and then they play the Aggies in Tuscaloosa. So those are their next two opponents, followed by a bye week and then LSU. But, I mean, these are the two teams that have a shot, right? Mm-hmm. They played a pretty highly contested battle. Tennessee has the ability, if they play a complete game, imagine they played a first and a second half. I mean, they have the talent to beat Alabama, don't they?
No, they certainly do. They have the talent to beat Alabama. I don't know if Alabama will, even if they do lose, you look at that and you could see Texas A&M or Alabama, Texas A&M. And we were talking about top 25 and teams, and this will start to work itself out, because I'm excited as we get towards the end of this month, we're going to see the real ranking that matters.
Yep.
All these ones that are really great, the AP poll and the coaches poll, they just don't matter. The big one is coming out later this month.
Clemson's kind of picking up some steam, moved to 6-0. Boston College, not much
of an
opponent.
What do we think about the ACC, though?
I hate the ACC.
What do we think about the ACC?
I was trying to watch a little bit of that Florida-Miami game. I just hate everybody in the ACC. They're so hard to watch for me. I don't know how good Florida State is. I thought Miami would win that one pretty easily because Florida State's been boat raced a couple times.
Yeah, I didn't expect that.
Dalvin Cook hasn't really gotten any momentum, but now he's running wheel routes past everybody.
I felt like Miami had a chance to make a statement in that conference and come back to reality and say, this is the Hurricanes we're going to be. But then they go ahead and they lose to Florida State.
Yeah.
Who's had two losses.
Yeah. Yep.
So it just makes no sense.
So now it's Clemson's to lose, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have a team that went perfect until the championship game last year. They're now 6-0.
Yep. I don't see anybody really battling. They have to make it through. Who's going to really give them a problem? Will it be Louisville? It's already done. They're already done. So it won't happen.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't have a chance. No, they do have a championship.
They do. North Carolina was a representative last year. Yeah. They got just ripped apart by Virginia Tech. So they lost 34-3, so they don't look like they're going to be much competition. That's actually a top 25 matchup, Virginia Tech at 25 and North Carolina with 17. Yeah. But yeah,
thumping.
I just hope the ACC can cannibalize themselves and knock everybody out. That's always my hope every year. Unfortunately, I think Clemson's probably going to be the team. Sad face.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do? What are your big impressions from the college football weekend?
Well, I think that you can't bank on the fact that this top 10 or top 25 is all going to be what you expect. You can't expect things in this conference or throughout this all of college football. You're going to see changes. There's going to be, Alabama might lose. Things are going to happen. But here's what I do know is that both Ohio State and Michigan will be undefeated going into that last week. I guarantee that.
Yeah. And that'll be a great game to watch.
And that will be critical for the entire top four.
Yeah.
And I think that Washington's looking at it. Everybody here in the Pac-12 right now, As clear as day, Washington is the only team that can make it to the Final Four.
Even a one loss, Washington's in. unless they lose their championship game.
Yeah, if your Pac-12 championship game is the one you lose, no way. But yeah, maybe a stumble somewhere. But if it's a stumble, it better be to a USC or something that's starting to trend up. How about that? USC going to save Clay Helton's job?
I don't think so. All right, we need to take a small break. We need to talk about Major League Baseball. We need to talk about the NFL. We've got a lot to get to, a lot more Dusty and Cam with Luke Anderson and Cam Cleland when we return.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Just saying that commercial reminded you that Marcus Mariota won. So
yeah,
Duck fans have that going.
You have that going for you today, which is nice.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get back into the case of Mondays. If you are a Ducks fan, we'd love to hear from you. Neither Cam or I can claim the Ducks as our own. We've got a Beavers fan producing, so we'd love to hear from Ducks fans and what they're thinking on this Monday morning, how you're feeling going into work. Everybody knows you've got your Ducks pennant hanging up on your cubicle, and everybody's going to be talking to you. You've got that one Huskies fan that has been real quiet for years, and he works with everybody, but you know he's going to get loud. You said, Cam, there's a guy on your block.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one of those experiences. I said it last week, too. I was telling my son when I picked him up from school, I said, hey, buddy, look around. There was one lady was wearing a Husky sweatshirt. Never seen her wear it before. Nope. Seen him. Saw
Brand
another
new,
one.
New
saw Huskies. Another one with another shirt on. Saw a hat. I said, just watch. So I'm walking out on Sunday with my wife and I are doing our weekly walk, because that's what old people do.
Yeah.
Hand in hand, walk with your wife. And we were walking through the neighborhood, and I went, oh my gosh, look right down the street. And there is, right out in the street, it's Halloween, right? You're expecting to have a Halloween decoration? No, there's like a 14-foot inflatable Husky dog with a number one in the yard of a house that I never, ever knew they were Husky fans. And I went, welcome to the world of sports fanaticism.
Yeah. Oh, people have been hating Duck fans.
Welcome to the world. The woodwork.
Yeah.
You just start pouring out.
The non-Duck fan like myself, and I'm sure you and Crawford, you could probably chime in on this, have seen over the last decade or so this kind of emergence of all these Duck fans that were dormant for years and years and years. And you can complain about Duck fans and Seahawk fans and how terrible they are. Mm-hmm. We're going to see the exact transformation of these humbled Huskies who are all of a sudden going to come out, and now they're I've always been a Huskies fan. I just didn't say anything because we weren't any good.
Right.
And now they're going to be yelling it from the rooftops.
Well, this person is texting, and they're not having a case of the money. They say, Washington schools have taken back the North. Go Cougs.
Oh.
And the Cougars do. They're not hiding either.
No,
I'm gonna give the Cougars some credit. What they did to Stanford this weekend, you know, I know it kind of as hard as it is for me to say, Washington State thumped Stanford. They kind of took the shine off of what the Huskies did the week before in Seattle on Friday. But this is one of those things that Stanford had a hangover. And the Cougars just said, why don't you come drink at the Coug?
Yeah.
Because we're just taking you to the woodshed. And they did. They physically beat Stanford up front. I didn't foresee that. And you know what? Christian McCaffrey's hurt. They looked like a subpar team. And we had College Football Game Day show on Saturday. And Jason Gesser looked at me and said, Cam, you don't think that the Stanford Cardinal are a mid-tier team? And I said, I'm not ready to give them the mid-tier credit grade. I'm going to say it right now. They've moved to the mid-tier.
Well, I mean, right here on the text line, Cougars found their defense is what happened. They also have a running game.
Cougars are good. They were always good. Balanced. If they could just figure out how to start a football season.
Well, they show up week three and they
just started. Doesn't make any sense.
Lumber in. It's kind of the Mike Leach way. Don't you just picture him walking into a room just in a bathroom? Hey, everybody. A few weeks, we're going to play a game. I mean, we've got a couple before then, but we'll start getting ready for...
Eight Marlboros down.
Yeah,
let's get after this, boys.
What are we doing?
They were tough. Now they're tough.
Crawford, you were telling me during the break, one of your buddies having a good case of the blues.
Yeah, my friend texted me this morning. He said, I'm pissed off this morning because my bag got I grabbed the wrong bag at the airport. Me and another guy must have the same bag, or I know we had the same bag because this is my bag, but it's not my stuff. It's a bunch of boring, there's nothing good in here. It's a bunch of boring men's clothes and a sock monkey puppet. So I'm like, that's kind of weird. And I said, how'd that happen? Like, you know, you didn't check your tag, like your either the one the airline gives you or your name or anything. He said, no, it was my carry-on. I said, how did you grab the wrong carry-on? Like, where were you? So we were in the same overhead bin, the same bag, and I just grabbed the wrong one. I'm like, what are the odds on that have to be incredibly. I still don't understand how you lose your carry-on.
So do you know the profile of the bag, black bag?
He said it was an Oregon Ducks duffel bag.
Okay, so this I worked at the airport for like 3 months when I lived in Vegas years and years ago. And I my favorite place to work was baggage because you get people coming up and they're all hot and bothered. Everybody's mad about their bags. It was never like, oh, I grabbed another black bag, my mistake. It was never that. It was always somebody that had a zebra print bag.
Specific.
Or they had a turquoise one because they see that bag and they're like, don't need to check it.
Yeah.
It's leopard print with pink polka dots.
Simple.
Patterned in there. Obviously my bag. Yoink, gone. Nope.
Yeah, it was an Oregon
Ducks. And
they'll
grab off the wrong flight too because you're just walking through that baggage carousel. You see a bag that looks dumb like the one that you bought, your Ducks duffel bag, whatever it is, you're like, yeah. That's mine, obviously. They snag those. Happens all the time. But yeah, it's never a black bag.
Never.
So all these people that think they're really clever, unless you have something that is like a picture of your own face on the bag, anything you do to decorate it, it's not really going to be that distinct. Somebody else will come up with that. That's when you lose your bag. Just travel with a plain black bag. Everybody will look at that. They'll double check it. They'll triple check it. They won't remember the brand, so they'll look at the tag three times.
They'll put
tags on it. That's the way you do it.
My parents bought me... Oakland Raiders luggage tags, but I just have a plain black bag, so I still think I could lose it when I fly into
Most
Oakland
definitely.
Or LA.
This text coming in, if Husky fan, in parentheses, Cam, what are you calling me out?
Alum and former player, yeah.
Is happy with one win. Just remember, they're still 1-12 in the last 13. Go Ducks.
I'm sorry, what's their record?
I don't.
Huskies are 6-0.
Talk about living in the now, right? I always say history is important. I think history is important. You know, the Ducks kicked the crap out of the Dogs for 12 years. 12 years. So, you know, good things happen sometimes, but I'll say all good things come to an end. Eventually, streaks end. The streak ended. You just weren't expecting a 70 burger. That's what you weren't expecting is that kind of
streak
number.
That's a big burger.
That's a really big burger.
Yeah. Well, and again, let's Duck fans, we love you. We absolutely love you. You're listening to the sports leader here in Portland.
I love fans in general.
Yeah,
I have passion about something you care about.
Sure, root and root away.
Yep.
What's the all-time record between the Huskies and the Ducks?
I think it's still in the Huskies' favor, if I'm correct.
Yeah, by a lot.
Yeah, quite a bit.
National championships, Huskies have them. Ducks don't.
Yeah, history's not important,
like,
right?
That's the thing
Husky
is when you bring up history.
Fest.
Just, you know what?
It's not
just,
really.
Just swallow your pill.
Everybody, I heard this quite a bit at the game. I said, you know what? Football started for us in 1994. That's when we arrived.
Yeah.
That's what I heard that in my ear behind me.
That's revisionist history, and that's idiotic.
And then I would, we get 13 in a row. You'll never catch up to 13. And I just grin and smile. I go, you know, I love the passion.
Yeah.
Take it for what it's worth.
What I want is I want this game to be circled on both schedules every year. I'd like to see it when they're both playing well. The last thing in the world that I want to see is the Ducks fade away, fire Helfrich, bring in another coach that fails, turn into USC where you just have this carousel of terrible coaches, and every year you're like, oh, what are they going to do? Well, they got this three-star kid. He might be something there, you know, and just fall back into obscurity. That would be the worst thing that could happen to the Pac-12.
What I want to see
is every year, I want to see competitive games. For the next 5 years, I want to see Justin Herbert go in there next year and play against Jake Brown, and they both have to come back, and I want to see them go toe-to-toe. And, you know, somebody win it on the last play. That's really what I want to see. But today, Ducks, you got beat down. Just accept it. Don't bring up this short-term history. Mm-hmm. The Dogs still win it over time. Yes, they probably won't beat the record of 13 win straight wins, but you shouldn't want them to. You want it to be competitive. You want to beat a good team. You don't want to beat a you know, trash can, just kick it over. That's easy. You should want the Tuskies to be good, and you should want to beat them when they're good.
I do. I feel fortunate. I played in the 90s when it was a back and forth rivalry. I mean, we swapped each other. I mean, there were times you'd win and we'd win, and there were games were close in the battle. And this texter says, for a team that preaches no tradition, different uniforms all the time, Duck fans really are looking for or looking in the past right now, looking backwards.
They are.
It's not that far removed. You 2 years removed from a national title game.
Yep.
It's not that far. But you would think right now, I think a lot of people think it might be 100 years ago in their minds.
Yeah.
They struggle with living in the now. And that's what college football has bred. This is college football's fault. This is fans' fault. This is marketing. This is social media. Is that live in the now, because all only thing that matters is now. Well, tell Alabama about tradition. Talk about LSU. Talk about Ohio State. Tradition is important, but you do have to live in the now.
Yeah.
And if you don't stay caught up with it, it will just
look no further than the Big 12. Your top dogs are Baylor and TCU, Oklahoma, Texas.
Yeah, go figure that.
The Red River rivalry was this weekend. And that's not for the top of that conference. That's for who's going to stay coaching their team. Right. I mean, there's a big difference. So, yeah, just, hey, you got beat down. Sorry to hear that. Get better next year. Come back. Make it a game. Thank you, Ducks. Let's get into some NFL when we return. We may have pissed some people off there. I hope so, anyways. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Tom Brady, your favorite player, your favorite person ever. Mm-hmm. MLB, a lot more when we return on Dusty and Cam.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.